how important it is, and why do we then now say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And from hearing the stories, the gospel narratives, you realize that it didn't begin that way. It was not first being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which would come as number three later on. Baptism is important, and as I told the children today, in the season of Epiphany, we look at those special events in Jesus' life where his presence was especially manifested with power. As Jesus' baptism is one of those epiphanies. You heard Luke's version read this morning, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The baptism of Jesus marks the beginning of his public ministry. This event is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And when we see them in the Synoptic Gospels, all three of them, we always say when we're in seminary, well, it's got to be true. Doesn't mean that the whole Bible ain't true. But anytime we're in seminary, we see something in all four Gospels, we says, well, those guys, they did hear it, didn't they? John's Gospel does not directly describe Jesus' baptism, even though he talks about it, but he doesn't describe it. Mark, Matthew, and Luke depict the baptism in parallel passages. In the Gospels, the accounts of Luke and Mark record the voice as addressing Jesus by saying, you are beloved Son, in whom I am pleased, who I am well pleased. That meaning that in Mark and Luke, the voice is speaking directly to Jesus. It says, you are beloved. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. While in Matthew, the voice addresses the crowd. The voice says, this is my beloved Son, the people around, in whom I am well pleased. And so you'll see the baptism in Matthew 3, 13 to 17, Mark 1, 9 to 11, and then Luke 3, 21 to 23. This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. Our baptism is important. And yesterday, I just remembered today as I was speaking with Zamzam, I remembered that yesterday I went up to the hospital, up to Plainview, just to check in on Mr. Wicks. And I was sitting in the lobby, and then I saw Rupal Christian, Miss Samson Christian's wife. And she told me that your dad is in the hospital upstairs. So I went up. I was going up to see Mr. Wicks, and they were on the same floor. And I said, I'll go over to see him. I've been planning to see him, and I didn't get around to it. And God really says, this is the day. So I went up to see him, and I was sitting there, and he doesn't speak English well. They speak, I'm going to say it wrong, Jamzam will correct me, I'm sure, Gujarati, right? And so I was speaking, he could understand English, and so he asked his daughter-in-law, to write something to me. And he held on to my hand, and as he was speaking to me about his faith, he says, I am baptized. Could you imagine? Right? And it does. I wasn't talking about baptism or anything. I wasn't telling what I was going to preach today. That wasn't why I was there. I was just talking, and he wrote in Gujarati on the paper. And he gave me the year he was baptized. I think I have it right, 1950 something, I believe he said, but he says, I am baptized. Even though the doctor says as long as, you know, it's failing and things are happening and they given the bad report as usual, but he was up and about, he was up in the bed, and all he wanted with tears coming down his eyes, he's 73 years old, I believe, he said, I am baptized. What a blessing to know, I am baptized. That means I have accepted Christ and I will see him. Amen. And I am baptized. It is something important about being baptized. Baptized in the Lord. You get a name change. Baptism is important. I read a story that says, baptism, take my good name. Reflection. A French writer, Henri Barbusse, tells of a conversation overheard in a trench full of wounded men during First World War. One of the men, who knew he only had minutes to live, says to one of the other men, listen, Dominique, you have led a very bad life. Everywhere you are wanted by the police, but there are no convictions against me. My name is clear, so here, take my wallet, take my papers, take my identity, take my good name, my life, and quickly hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes away with me in death. The good news is that through Jesus, God makes a similar offer. Something wonderful happens to us when we are baptized. When we are baptized, we identify ourselves with Jesus. We publicly declare our intention to strive to be like Jesus, to follow God's will for our lives. When we are baptized, our lives are changed. We see things differently than before. We see other people differently than before. Baptism enables and empowers us to do the things that Jesus wants us to do here and now. We are able to identify with Jesus because he was baptized, and we are able to love as he loved. Such an identification is life-changing. Baptism is important. That kind of identification shapes what we believe and claims us. Now, there is something important about that, knowing that our names should change. And I want to bring an argument to you or submit this to you about infant baptism. I am a United Methodist Protestant pastor, and I understand about infant baptism. But I have believed that infant baptism oftentimes have watered down the power of baptism in a lot of our denomination, in mainline denomination. It is an argument that I raise, and many of my clergy who understand it has raised that. And that's why sometimes even with the Roman Catholic Church, they just don't baptize every person whose child comes in. Not because we don't love the baby and want to baptize the baby, but there's a responsibility with baptism. Baptism is not just about the party. It's not just about the brunch we're going to have afterwards. That's important. The beautiful outfit we bought for the babies, I did the same thing. And then we had a big meal afterwards. Some folks, when they asked me to baptize their time, they says, how long it's going to take because we've got to get to the restaurants by such and such. Right? Baptism is not about that. And what has happened to us with infant baptism, some folks, not any of you here because you're here in church or you understand, they get their babies baptized, they call you up, you say yes, and you never see them again. Ever. Again. Now, how is that baby going to grow up in Christ? When you say yes, right? So here's the argument that split the church on the church reformation. The Baptists believed, that's why we got the Anabaptists, right? They would walk away from that theology because they only believed in what? Believers' baptism. They said, how could a baby be baptized? But there's an argument for infant baptism. There is no scripture in the Bible that says we should baptize baby. Do you know that there's no scripture? There is no scripture. I have searched the Bible, and if you search it and you find it, you tell me chapter and verse, please. Right? Yes, in the book of Acts, it said, somewhere there in the book of Acts, it said that what? That the whole household was baptized. Right? That a household was baptized, but it doesn't say the household included children, but we are assuming eisegesis, we are putting that in the text, we are saying all of those Jewish households, Gentiles would, Jewish Christians would have children. So it didn't say that they weren't baptized or they were baptized. Doesn't give us any teaching on that. But we are assuming that and we're saying, yes, everybody in the house was baptized. But the Baptists believe, yes, they're Christian babies. Christening, somebody asked me about that last week. Christening for some folks, it's now becoming more, you know, in tune to baptism. Because there's some church when they christen, they receive the baby. Some of them will use anointing oil and they will use water, but they will not say, I baptize you. They will christen them and bless them, right? And bring them into the church, but they won't say baptism. Because they believe that doesn't mean you have to be 40 to be baptized. You could be 15 and be baptized. You could be 12, but it's an age of what? Understanding. That you know what you're saying yes to. Right? It is called believer's baptism. Now, church, today, we who are the parents of these children and grandparents, when we come to church and we say we are baptizing our children, our grandchildren, we're saying yes to a responsibility that what? We are going to do what? Bring them up into the church so the good work that has begun in them at birth, that good work is going to come into fruition. You look at these young children here today, right? Baptized, brought up in the church, but if they were not in Sunday school and in church, learning about God, then the promise of God that he poured, when he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon them, when we baptize children, we says, right? He says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you know, Mary, being born of water and spirit, being born of water, now you've been born by spirit. We pray over the water. We says, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this water. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that he or she that receives this, right, will be filled, so to speak, right? Now, once we say that, we must mean something by that, don't we? We have a responsibility to take this child to church, not when they're little infants in your arms, of course. We understand, we are taking care of babies. But we who come from the old church, I used to be in church, I'm sure, before I could breathe. Right? And I was in church even when I didn't want to be in church. And at times I want to just go hang out, and they would drag me. And I kept thinking, why am I going to church? Are we the only ones going to heaven? You understand? Are we just our family going to heaven? What about my friends next door just hanging out? Heaven is going to just be empty, and it's going to be very unhappy because it's just a small group of us in my neighborhood. Do you see the point? So the idea is, thanks, Mom. I'm not complaining if you're listening. I was then, but I'm not anymore. Because she's not right up next to Jesus, so I got to be careful. You understand? She's next to him and saying, watch her, you know. She dragged me to church when I didn't want to go, Zam, Lord knows. Dragged me all the time. You know, well, sometimes I didn't always love church like I love it now. That's my job. But anyway, I'm confessing. I'm sorry. I love church. I love church. I love it with all of my heart. Oh, God, forgive me this morning. I'm making terrible. I'm not being a good example today. I love being here with you. But the point is, you know, baptism is important. It is important because it's a forgiveness of sins. Right? It's a forgiveness of the original sin for us. We believe that theology. But it's important. It's going to be more important, the baptism of Jesus and our baptism after Christ, because we're going to what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? Before that, they said, you know, if you Google things or you read in history, some people says there's seven baptism. I don't know about the seven. They have all kind of baptism of this. But really, in the text, there are three baptism. It's still one baptism, but you see baptism by water. John the Baptist said he was baptizing by water only, and that is called a baptism of repentance. He said it in the text. I baptize you but in water, but there's one who's going to come after me who's going to baptize you by what? The Holy Spirit. So there's a reason for us to get the Holy Spirit, right? And the Bible says Jesus was baptized, and as he came up, the Holy Spirit got up on, you know, came upon him and said, and his ministry would begin, right? So the work of the Holy Spirit would begin in him. Well, this morning, as we remember the baptism, That little song we sang earlier, wait in the water, children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water, right? God's gonna trouble the water with the Holy Spirit. When we pray over that water, God what? Troubles the water. How I would love to have a font, and as I'm praying over it, the water start to move. I probably would run out of here, but the water would be moving. You know, I'd be saying, the Lord is here. Really here. We know he's here, but he's really here. Because the water would be moving. Right? Because he comes and we pray and we believe it. Now, church, once we believe that, we believe in our hearts that that happens. I remember in the text, in the Acts, they were worried. In Acts, they were saying, did they receive the Holy Spirit? They were baptized by John, but did they receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't have to be worried here, all of you who have been baptized by as infants, because if you're baptized as a Methodist, as an infant, or other Protestant mainline churches, somewhere in the liturgy they said what? Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this water. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that he or she who receives it will be filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us, whether we are Presbyterian or Lutheran or Methodist or you know, UCC or Church of England or Roman Catholic, certainly Roman Catholic, we bless the water. And we ask the Lord to pour the Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. Right? We have the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not working in us, then it's up to us, isn't it? Something has happened. So we want to be able to understand that baptism and having the Holy Spirit comes with responsibility. Comes with responsibility for all of us. And our responsibility doesn't stop because we're grown. Our responsibility begins when we are baptized, but it's the responsibility of those who say yes when we're babies. Every parent who says yes. I said this morning that when people come to me and ask me about baptism, and I want to go back to the old days, because I used to be very firm on baptism. I was never wishy-washy on baptism. You had to take a class, a couple of classes, and I had to meet the godparents. Because I used to say to folks, do you know when someone says, oh, my friend and my job is going to be my godparent of my child? I said, do you know them? Do you know if they're Muslim? Or no, no offense to the Muslim. I'm just saying they don't believe the same thing we do, you know. Do you know if they're Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or whatever other religion they could be? Do you know if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're asking these godparents to what? To take care of your child if something happens to you, to bring them up in the church, or to be there for them, to tell them about Jesus. That's what you're answering. Do you know anything about these folks that you are asking to be godparents? Are they, you know, drinking and smoking and running and partying and never going to church? How are they going to help your child? It is important. So I always wanted to meet the godparents and have a couple of classes, and I wanted to meet, of course, the husband and the wife and say, have you been baptized? Why are you baptizing your child? Do you understand what baptism means? I always give them a little book on baptism, that there are three forms of baptism, that we use three methods. We could sprinkle, or pour, or immerse. All right? Some of us need to be immersed. Bam, and again. I mean, and Dick, you won't come up. I am sure that the Holy Spirit is going to hold him down in the water. And so it is so important that it is that symbolism of being immersed and the water pouring is the washing away of sins. Right? But it's not the end. So when we baptize our children, it's our responsibility, our babies, to what? We say what? The liturgy says it. That we should be what? Bringing them up in the church. Show up. Now, if I were to say to a couple who calls me up and says, I want to baptize my child, and then they come, and I says, are you going to come to service to see what we do here? Those are folks who are not members here. I said to one couple once in another church I was, I says, you don't know if we're devil worshippers. You got to show up at my church. Right? I says, you got to come to service. What if we cut off chicken heads on Sunday? You don't know. You're just asking me to baptize your baby, and you've never been to my church.
What if you come in and we have a chicken and we are draining the blood and we're doing voodoo in the church? How do you know that? Right? Because they're not taking it as being important. Just to baptize because somebody told them. So I always say you need to come to church. Come to my church and sit and hear what we preach. See if we preach about what you believe. See if it means Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Come and then ask me a question. Ask me what it means. What does it mean if you don't know something? And then I'm asking you to bring the child. So that child, your responsibility then is when that child get of age, to do what? To bring them up in the church. Do you know, my sisters and brothers, friends of in the Lord, that we now with our children, we send them to lots of schools. My poor granddaughter has so much homework, and I know all of you you think she's going to college. They go now to pre-nursery, or something before, and then nursery. And then they go to pre-kindergarten, and kindergarten, and they graduate from kindergarten, and they can't spell kindergarten. Do you know that? They graduate, then they go to grammar school. And we make sure all these things happen for their what? Education, knowledge, so they could get good careers and be good functioning human beings. But do you know just as important is their spiritual life? Amen. Do you know just as important is that spiritual life that they're going to need? Because you know what? You know what happens? No matter how much education we have, there comes a point in our life that we need to know Jesus. Amen. That when we're sick in the hospital, or when they go away to college, even when they walk away from it, many of us walk away from it, we get busy with our careers, but we always have that in our back of our head. At least they show up for the high holy days. You know, they'll come for Christmas and New Year's, but they've got the foundation of knowing that Jesus loves them. They are the beloved of Christ because what? We allow them to know it. We bring them to Sunday school. I can applaud all of you, you young people who are bringing your children to Sunday school now. I applaud you and all of you who have all the years and all of us who have done, because that's the grounding of their faith, the foundation of their faith. And so today on Jesus' baptism, we want to remember our baptism and how important our baptism is. And if you're in this church and you have not been baptized at any age you are, let me know. It is my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. By the time we would be baptized, the triune relationship, the Trinity, would be involved. Can you imagine? John just baptized in the name of the Lord. But by the time we were going to get baptized, it would be the name of the Father, the Creator, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a powerful trio. Amen. That means the power of the Holy Spirit would be in us. And so, church, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to bring up the children in the church. And we have to have a responsibility to not treat our baptism as if it's nothing, as if it's light. It is important. Do we believe that we were born with original sin? That's our doctrine. Do we believe that through baptism we are forgiven of original sin? Do we believe that we are beloved and blessed of the Lord because we are baptized? Do we believe that we have a hope to get to heaven because we are baptized? Yes. But it also is a responsibility for us to continue to study the Word, to go to church, to serve God, to keep growing. Right? There are many of us here who keep going to school, don't we? Amen. We get graduate degree, we get postgraduate degree, we get postgraduate degree. You know, we keep learning, we keep having life experience. It is the same thing with our Christian journey. Same thing with the journey as we know for Christ. So today, we want to remember. And if our life is a little shaky, and we don't really understand, we could have reaffirmation of our baptism. You know what reaffirmation of baptism means? You're not baptized again. Once baptized, always baptized. Amen. Because you can't say you're baptized again because you're saying that God didn't do it right the first time. You're right? that the first time you got baptized, then God messed up. Because remember, baptism is a holy mystery. Something happens that we don't know. And I could err on the side of children baptism or believer's baptism. I think believer's baptism becomes much more powerful because that person is saying, yes, I want to be baptized. But if we are saying for a child, yes, baptize that child, we should take on the responsibility with fervor and love and conviction that we are going to do everything to bring up this child in the church. We owe it to that child. We owe it to that baby who can't speak for themselves. We owe it to be good parents or good godparents or good grandparents and do everything we can to tell them about Jesus because we're standing before the Lord and saying that. So that they will have the foundation we had. So that they can know Christ one day. That he who has begun a good work in them can bring it into completion. And I think so many of our kids are running into trouble now because guess what? We let them drop out of church. They have nothing to hold on to. They have nothing. We just let them drop out there. They could do whatever. They don't come. They don't do it. We just let them go. We baptize them and we leave them to the devil who's in the world who's just waiting to destroy their lives. And we need to get back to letting them understand they're the same God who took care of us, took care of their grandparents, and have done great things for them is the same God who will take care of them. Our baptism demands that of us, that we who are baptized by the Holy Spirit will also make sure that others, it's done for others accordingly. We have to make sure of that. And so, I read this little story today as I close. This one theologian, he was well known. He says, where's your spirit? He says, I want to share with you a question by Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is certainly not known as a Pentecostal preacher. When he held the great pulpit of Westminster Chapel in London as a great preacher of the Reformed theology near the end of his life, and some say at the very pinnacle of his ministry, he asked his congregation a question. He said, I want to talk to you today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you today about, here it is, huh? You may call it what you want, but I want to know, have you experienced the fullness of the Spirit? I know all of you listening to me come as I do from a Reformed background, but it's not good enough. I know that all of you would want to say to my question about the Holy Spirit, well, we got it all at conversion or baptism. There's no need for any more experience. Well, said Jones, I have only one other question to ask you. If you got it all at conversion or baptism, where in God's name is it? Where is it the Spirit of God working in you, in me? If we received the Holy Spirit at our baptism, we should be living as such. The fruit of the Spirit should be in us. The fullness of the Spirit should be in us. And the light of Christ should shine through us. The light of Christ should shine. People should know that we have been baptized, saved by God's amazing grace. Saved and sanctified, heaven bound, and that we don't have to be concerned. And so today, friends, remember your baptism and give thanks. And walk in your baptism. Walk in it. Rejoice in it. Know that it's a gift from God. And because you've been baptized, heaven is a free gift. And that's the blessing from the Lord. When you stand at somebody's grave, like yesterday, I'm reminded again that we all go that way. And no matter what happened to Linda, one thing I'm sure, she was baptized as a Presbyterian. No matter what her circumstance was, she loved Jesus. And she loved church. No matter what, life was tough and hard, but she loved Jesus and she loved the church. and look at all she has gone through in life, yet still, we'll see her in heaven when we get there. Thanks be to God for that.